was walking with my son the other day, and he was actually drinking a can of Coke, and he had to tie his shoes, so he put the Coke on the car, on a car that was parked, and he started tying his shoes. I turned to him and I told him that there's a very strong possibility in halacha that if while this can of Coke is resting on this person's car, should there be a hurricane or a missile, not very shchiach, might not happen, but I was just trying to imbue and embed and teach him, the significance of actions. If while the can of Coke is on the car, a mishap is to would happen to this car, you may be responsible to pay the owner the value of the car, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. He said, "But I'm a katan." I said, "You're right. A katan is potter. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says, Chere shoita of a katan pigiyosan ra, dealing with a minor is something that's not suggested because if you damage him, you're responsible to pay him for the damage that you incurred. However, should he do something to you, or should he accept upon himself to watch something of yours, he would be potter, he would be obligated." But I told him that if you were to be a gadol, and some say that there's a possibility, there's a midas chasidus brought down in the Sefer Chasidim, which may or may not apply to our case, but a minor that grows up might have an obligation to pay his debts, to pay his damages if it was done with intent, which is not the case over here. It's just something to keep in mind. Why is that? So he asked me, why? What did I do? Why should I be responsible for this car? Based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Gemara says that if a person has a stick and he rests it upon another person's animal, makalei v'tarmiloi, he is actually borrowing the animal. There's a concept in halacha called a shoyel, a borrower, and then there's a concept in halacha called a shoyel shelo midas, a borrower without actually borrowing the item, without asking the person, "Can I use your item?" We mentioned in a previous shiur that in order to become a guardian and to assume halachic responsibility for the guardianship and for the protection of a specific item, a person has to make a kinyan. He has to pull the item or lift the item and accept and say, I'm obligating myself as a shomer, as a watchman, as a guardian, and I will accept responsibility. If I'm a shomer chinam, I will accept not to have negligence, and if there's negligence, I will pay. If I'm a shomer sachar, if I'm getting paid for the item, then even if it gets lost or stolen and it's not really my fault, I would still pay. And if I'm a shoyel, if I borrow the item, then in any event, I would be chayev to pay. Says the Nesivos that when it comes to she'ela, when it comes to borrowing an item, the actual usage of the item, if you don't make an actual ma'aseh kinyan, you don't lift it or pull the item in any way, but you use the item, the usage of the item itself makes you into a shoel, makes you into one who borrows the item. Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia that when a person rests his stick on an animal, he's borrowing the animal. And he's a shol shlomidas. He's not asking permission for the usage of the animal, but by going ahead and borrowing that animal, even for an insignificant amount, an insignificant usage. But if he's borrowing the animal, he becomes a shoel, he becomes a borrower, and that obligates him to pay if any mishap should happen, whether it's his fault, whether it's not his fault. And therefore, I explain, you putting the can of Coke on the car very possibly obligates you, if you would be a gadol, if you would be a grown man, if you'd be over the age of 13, you would be obligated to pay $30,000 because while you were borrowing the car, quote unquote, this car had a mishap, a missile or an explosion, a hurricane destroyed the car. While you were borrowing it, very possibly you would be obligated to pay that amount. However, thinking about it a little bit more, there are two possible reasons why that would not be true. One reason is, there's a Gemara that entertains the question. When the usage that's being borrowed is worth less than a Shava Pruta, it's worth less than an insignificant coin, 5 cents or something like that. If the value of the usage is less than a Shava Pruta, the Gemara has a question. Is that called a Shoel? Is he actually borrowing the item? He's not borrowing it to take a regular, normal usage out of it. He's borrowing it for the usage of something that's worth an insignificant amount of money, and therefore, in our case, it very possibly would be Pater. However, there's another reason why it might be Pater, and this plays itself out very distinctly in Hilchas Shomrim as a whole. And that is called Mesa Machmas Malacha. When a person borrows an item, he borrows a car to drive to a wedding, he borrows his friend's car to go to the grocery. The halacha is, as we mentioned, he's responsible for all einsim, for any mishap that might happen, whether it's his fault, whether it's not his fault at all. He's a shoyel, kol hano shaloi, he's getting all the pleasure, he's not paying a penny for the usage, he's not renting the item, he's borrowing the item, and therefore he's obligated to pay as an owner. An owner assumes the risk of loss in any event. Likewise, a borrower, somebody who borrows an item, he's assuming upon himself the risk of loss. This is true except for one category, which is called meso machmas malacha. If during or because of the normal hishtamshus, the normal wear and tear of the item, that this item, the article that was borrowed, has an issue and gets destroyed. In that case, since it happened during the normal wear and tear and the normal she'ela, the normal usage, then he would be pater, even if it's out of his control. So everything that's out of his control, obligated. If he parks the car and goes to sleep, and something happens to the car, he's obligated. But if while he's driving the car, while he's using the car in the normal way, something happened, it overheats, or something happens that's normal and a regular thing to happen, he would be pater, he would be absolved from paying. And therefore, in our case, one might entertain a tzad, one might want to suggest that since this mishap happened during the usage, in the normal wear and tear of the usage, possibly pater. Now this p'tur, this logic would depend on a machlokes rishonim and how to understand the p'tur of mesa machmas malacha. If it happened during the usage, because of the usage, you would be pater, you're absolved. Why? If a shoel is like an owner, he's obligated in every single type of mishap that might happen, whether it's his fault or whether it's totally out of his control. Why if it's during the usage, does that obligate him to pay like a shoal? Does that obligate him to pay? Does that absolve him from paying, the onus, the mishap that has happened? There are two different ideas discussed in the Rishonim. Some commentaries explain that if you lend a car to go from New York to Manhattan to go to a wedding, and during that normal wear and tear, the car was not able to handle the trip, so it's the fault of the owner that he lent his vehicle, he lent his article in a way that wasn't, that the article itself was not able to withstand the she'ela, was not able to withstand the task that it was lent to perform. And therefore, it's his fault. And since it's his fault, the borrower would be pater, would not be obligated to pay. There's another logic discussed, and that is a simple logic. When you lend something, it's obvious that there's going to be wear and tear. It's obvious that there are risks involved, that when something is in usage, there are different risks that come up, different things that might happen. And if you lend your article, the owner is telling you, go ahead, use my article, use it like an owner. And I understand that using it like an owner might incur different types of risks of loss, that if I would use it like an owner, would have the same risk. And therefore, I'm in turn telling you, go ahead and use it, and I will accept upon myself as an owner any risk that might happen, anything, any defect, anything that might happen during the trip. while you're using it on its way to the usage. Now, these two ideas have very significant nafkaminas, very significant differences in this pitur, and this plays itself out in the question that we started the class with. A person's driving, he borrows a car to drive to a wedding. On his way to the wedding, a boulder falls from the side of the road and destroys the car. Is that mesa machmas malacha? According to the Ramban that discusses pshias hamashal, it was your fault. Your item was not able to withstand this effort, was not able to withstand this amount of wear and tear. That's not true in that case. If he's driving on the road, it was able to withstand the trip. Something happened during the trip. A boulder fell and smashed the car. In that event, there's no pshias hamashal, and therefore there wouldn't be this limitation of the obligation, and therefore he would be absolved. He wouldn't have to pay. It would be considered, there would be no pshias hamashal. It would be considered as if it would be a regular oinus, and therefore he would be responsible to pay like a regular mishap, because there's no pshias hamashal. There was no negligence on behalf of the owner for lending a car that couldn't withstand the trip. It could have withstood the trip. However, if you understand the p'tur of mesa machmas malacha in a way that when I give over, when I lend my article, I'm telling you, use it like an owner, use it like a bialim, and I accept upon myself any risk, anything that might happen during normal wear and tear. In this case, this is one of the risks of wear and tear. A boulder fell down from the side of the road, and he would be pater mesa machmas malacha. Another nafkamina, another difference, is in a case where there was no mashal, when the owner never physically and really lent the item. There's a concept in halacha that a person is allowed to borrow another person's item without permission to perform a mitzvah. There's a chazaka, there's a understood logic that nichalei leinish lemeved mitzvah b'mamayinish aloi. A person would like to have his assets used for good deeds, for mitzvahs. And therefore, you're allowed to borrow a person's tefillin. You're allowed to borrow a person's esrog and shake it on sukkahs. Now, what's the halacha if you borrow the tefillin and as you're putting on the tefillin, the snap breaks? You borrow the tefillin, you're a shoel, you're chayiv, you're obligated in einsim, you're obligated even if it wasn't your fault. But there's a certain time where you would not be obligated, and that is mesa machmas malacha. If during normal wear and tear, something happens that's out of your control, in that case you would be potter. Does that apply even when you don't have permission? According to the Ramban, according to the logic that says that it's because the mashil lent the article in a way that the article couldn't handle, in that case, here he would be obligated. Because the mashal, the owner, never allowed him to use the tefillin. The chachamim tell us that you're allowed to, it's mutter, you're permitted to borrow without permission. But you can't say that there's a mesa machmas malacha. The mashal, the owner, never said, go ahead and borrow it. It could handle this. Maybe I assume that it can't handle this. However, if you understand the logic like the Ramah, like the other school of thought, that the p'tur of mesa machmas malacha is based on the fact that when I allow you to use it, I'm also assuming all risks. Incorporated in the rabbi's decision to permit the usage of somebody else's dvar mitzvah, of somebody else's chayfetz shal mitzvah, incorporated in that is, go ahead and use his article without permission, and even if something were to happen, that's part of the permission to use it. Mesa machmas malacha. There's an umden das. There's an underlying fact that one can feel in the air that there's a person definitely would like his friend to use his dvar mitzvah like a regular shoyl, like a regular borrower, and therefore he gets all the pturim and all the the leniencies of a regular borrower, and if the tefillin strap were to break while he's putting on the tefillin, he would be potter according to the Ramah. This logic one can adapt to a person placing a can of Coke on a car. It's obvious that the person who owns the car does not mind if there's a can of Coke on the car for a few seconds while somebody ties his shoe. And therefore, it's as if it's stipulated that I allow people to put things on my car. You know, one might argue, but generally, if it's a regular, decent, normal car and it's a normal person, a person can assume that he's permitted to place items on the vehicle. And therefore, according to the logic of the Ramah, he would be responsible. But according to the Ramah, that says that incorporated in that is a permission to use it like a regular borrower. You can use it as if you're borrowing the item and you get all the leniencies that a regular borrower gets. So in that case, he would be potter and he would not have to pay. Now, there's one more issue that is discussed in the Paiskim, also a fascinating question. In the event that, let's say, the borrower would assume responsibility and he would be chayiv, he would be obligated to pay. What happens if, in the event, which most cases are true, that the car is insured and the owner is able to make a claim? So on the one hand, he didn't incur any damage. I mean, his article got damaged and the shmir, he was a shoel, he borrowed the car, it got damaged, got destroyed, it wasn't his fault, but in most cases it's an onus, he would be obligated to pay because kolonel shaloi, because he's like an owner and he has to pay for all mishaps. Now what happens if the owner is able to make an insurance claim and recoup most of the losses or all of the losses? On the one hand, the owner says, you're responsible for my article. I have a separate deal with the insurance company, and the insurance company is giving me a payout based on my premiums that I've been paying all the years. It's my deal, my separate deal, that does not absolve you of your obligation to pay as a shomer, as your obligation to pay as a damager. And this is also negate to every car accident. People get into an accident, arguably, the owner of the car, the nizik, can say, I'm going to deal with my insurance company. You are a mazik. You damaged my vehicle. You have to pay. Whether I recoup benefits from my insurance company, that's a separate issue. A lot of times, the insurance company will stipulate that it's obvious that they're only paying if they're a secondary coverage, and they're only paying if the owner is not recouping anything from anybody else's insurance company, or whatever it might be. But in the event that that's not true, I have a very fascinating question. When I damage somebody's article, if it's not really hurting them, they're not really incurring a damage at the end of the day because they're getting compensated by another party, can they collect damages from the damager or not? Now, this leads us to a fascinating question that Rav Chaim Brisker posed a query, a very intellectual concept that he posed to his Talmidim many years ago. And the question was as follows. A person is in possession of two stamps that are of very high value, two antique stamps that are very unique, and they're the only two stamps in the world. Each one, let's say, is valued at $1,000. A friend of his, or maybe not a friend, comes and destroys one of his stamps. So he probably would be obligated to pay $1,000. Now, with that action of the destruction of the stamp, the second stamp that's in his possession doubles in value because now it becomes the only stamp in the world that is of this unique quality. And therefore, what happens is he doesn't incur any loss. He got his $1,000 stamp was damaged, but together with that, the second stamp doubled in value, and therefore he recouped all of his losses. Reb Chaim's question was, is the damager obligated to pay or not? Now, Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, in his Sefer Or Sameach, he actually poses the question of the insurance, and he wants to maintain. He brings proofs from different Gemaras throughout Shas that a guardian, if he accepts upon himself responsibility, he has to pay regardless if the owner is going to claim from the insurance company or not. It doesn't matter whether he gets it from the insurance company or not. The guardian who accepted upon himself responsibility, he has to pay. And yet, the Ktsois HaChoshen in Siman Shin Samach Vav pretty clearly indicates that a mazik, that if by a damager, if there's nothing, if no damage actually happened to the person's general picture, to his portfolio, in other words, another stamp were to gain value to compensate for the loss of value of the first stamp, in that case, says the Ktsois HaChoshen, he would not have to pay because you haven't damaged the person. The person's assets have retained its value. They remain the same. So how do we understand this difference? It's clear that the difference is there's a difference between a damager and a guardian. As we mentioned earlier, a guardian is one who accepts upon himself an obligation. When one were to look at the words of the Or Sameach, all his proof and all of his suggestions are all only in the event that a person accepts upon himself an extra responsibility to pay in a certain event. Says Rav Meir Simcha that in that case, when you agree and you commit to pay if something in a certain eventuality, that commitment is a commitment that's binding even if the person were to get compensated from another place. However, when we talk about the institution of damages, when one person damages his friend, in order for him to be considered liable, he has to have damaged his friend in a way that actually caused him a loss. And if he's going to get compensated because either there's an inflation in a different article that he owns, or there's a compensation in regards to an insurance company that's going to compensate in a certain way, in that case, it's not considered you damaged him because there's no damage felt by the owner, and therefore he would be absolved. Obviously, this is a thought I'd like to suggest, and there are many poskim and many different ideas when it comes to this complex issue. Just wanted to bring to light some of the issues that come up in Hilchas Shomrim, and some of the very interesting applications to the halacha.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havar Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.